This podcast delves into the dark, the depraved, and all things to keep you up at night. Listener discretion is advised. Now, sit back, pull the covers over your head, and allow yourself to be taken on a journey through the abyss.
Hey everybody, welcome to Through the Abyss podcast. I'm your co-host Mandy.
And I am your co-host Ben.
And today we are going to be discussing the Casey Anthony debacle. And I'm going to apologize right now. This case absolutely infuriates me. So there may be some F-bombs dropped and a lot of intense anger coming from me, because it still, to this day, makes me incredibly angry what this, for lack of a better word, person did to her daughter. And I don't care what the verdict says. I know she did it. In my heart, I know she didn't.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ben.
Yeah.
And it's 5 o'clock in the morning for Ben right now, so just going to throw that out there.
It's all 8 good. O'clock this for is, me. This is my normal time.
All right. So jumping right in, Kaylee Marie Anthony. She was born August 9th, 2005. And her mother, Casey, lived with Casey's parents, George and Cindy Anthony. This chick, she's a pathological liar. I think it's safe to say she is an absolute pathological liar, because she lied about being pregnant right up until the point where she could no longer lie about it. So that's like where it begins.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's very interesting. She lied. She said she wasn't pregnant, right? To her parents
and everybody else.
And everybody else, right? Like, it's the man that she had Kaylee with. That's not the person that said he wouldn't marry someone with a daughter, right? Or is it the same?
No, man? No. The Tony was her current boyfriend. Oh, right. This. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot. She didn't. She said she doesn't know who Kaylee's father was, which is probably also a lie. But
yeah. From what I understand, she threw out a couple different names. One of them, I think the last person she said or claimed to be the father, apparently he's dead, which is very convenient.
Of course he is.
Right, exactly. All right, so 3 years later, when Kaylee was three when all of this happened, June 16th, June 15th, 2008, it was Father's Day, and I guess they had some kind of argument or fight or something, and the next day Casey, you know, had her little tantrum and drove off with Kaylee.
And then they didn't see her for a period of time, right? Yeah, after that?
Yeah, it was like a month.
Right, because not to jump too far ahead, but then she, when Casey's finally asked about Kaylee, she says she's been gone like a month.
Yeah. So what happened was Casey had been in contact with her parents throughout that month. Not like every day, of course, but
never expressed that her daughter was missing.
Exactly. You know, she would make up one thing. I think Cindy, Casey's mom, at one point went to Universal Studios, where Casey claimed to be working, asking to see Kaylee. Obviously Casey wasn't there. She told him she was in Jacksonville for whatever reason. So come July 15th, 2008, which is, a month after Casey had left, George and Cindy find Casey's car. It was in an impound lot. Now, George, he was a former cop, and he said that when he opened the car, there was this stench of death, like there had been a dead body in the car decomposing. And from everything that I've ever seen, because I watch a lot of forensic shows and FBI profile and things like that, anybody who's ever smelled a decomposing body has always said that it's a smell that you just don't ever forget. So that's where kind of everything kicks off. And
yeah, and not to jump the gun, but later that smell would be confirmed by forensic team and dogs as well, correct?
Right. Now at this point, Cindy tracks down Casey, and that's when Casey admitted that Zanny the nanny has kidnapped her, and she's been gone for 31 days. So At this point, this is where Cindy makes that 911 call.
Hello. Hi, I drove to the police department here on Pershing, but you guys are closed. I need to bring someone into the police department. Can you tell me where I can, the closest one I can come into?
What are you trying to accomplish by bringing them to the station?
I have a 22-year-old person that has grand theft sitting in my auto with me.
So the 22-year-old person stole something?
Yeah.
Is this a relative?
Yes.
Where did they steal it from?
My car and also money.
Okay, is this your son?
Daughter.
Okay, so your daughter stole money from your car?
No, my car was stolen. We've retrieved it today. We found out where it was at. We retrieved it. I've got that. And I've got affidavit for my banking account. I want to bring her in.
Okay.
I want to press charges.
Where did all of this happen?
Oh, it's been happening.
No, but I need to establish a jurisdiction is what I'm trying.
Well, I live in Orlando.
Yeah, but what address did these thefts occur at?
Well, I guess my residence, but yes.
That's actually going to be in the jurisdiction of the sheriff's office, ma'am, not the Orlando Police Department.
All righty.
Let me transfer you over to the communications section for Orange County.
Okay. Because my next thing will be down to trial thing, and we'll have a court order to get her. If that's what you want to say, we'll do it, and you'll never. Well, then, you have... No, I'm not giving you another day. I've given you a month.
All right, sir. 911 theater, what's happening?
I have someone here that I need to be arrested in my home.
They're there right now?
I have a possible missing child. I have a 3-year-old that's been missing for a month.
A 3-year-old?
Yeah.
Have you reported that?
I'm trying to do that now, ma'am.
Okay, what did the person do that you need arrested?
My daughter.
For what?
For stealing an auto and stealing money. I already spoke with someone. They said they would patch me through the Orlando Sheriff's Department, have a deputy here. I was in the car. I was going to drive her to the police station, and my window's open. They said they would bring a deputy to my home when I got home to call them.
So she stole your vehicle?
Yes.
When did she do that?
On the 30th. I just got it back from the impound. I'd like to speak to an officer. Can you have someone come out to my house?
Okay. I got to ask you these questions so I can put them in the call, okay?
Okay.
30th of June?
Yes.
Okay, how old is your daughter?
22.
Okay, what's your name?
My name?
Her name.
Her name.
And you said you have this vehicle back?
Yes. I have the statement.
She's there right now?
Yes, I got it. I finally found her after a month. She's been missing for a month. I found her, but we can't find my granddaughter. 5 foot, 1.5.
Thin, medium, or heavy build?
Thin.
Color hair?
Brown.
What color shirt is she wearing?
White.
What color pants?
Oh, they're shorts. They're plaid. They're like pink and teal and white, black, plaid.
Does she have any weapons on her?
No.
Is she not telling you where her daughter is?
Correct.
Okay, we'll have a deputy out to you as soon as one's available, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
911, what's your emergency?
I called a little bit ago, the deputy sheriff said, I found out my granddaughter has been taken. She has been missing for a month. Her mother finally admitted that she's been missing.
Okay, what is the address that you're calling from?
We're talking about a 3-year-old little girl. My daughter finally admitted that the baby turned star. I need to find her.
Your daughter admitted that the baby is where?
The babysitter took her months ago that my daughter's been looking for. I told you my daughter was missing for a month. I just found her today, but I can't find my granddaughter. She just admitted to me that she's been trying to find her herself. There's something wrong. I found my daughter's car today, and it smells like there's been a dead body in the damn car.
Okay, what is the 3-year-old's name?
Kaylee. C-A-Y-L-E-E. Anthony.
Kaylee Anthony?
Yes.
Okay, is she white, black, or Hispanic?
She's white.
How long has she been missing for?
I have not seen her since the 7th of June.
What is her date of birth?
8-9-2000. Oh, God, she's 3. She's 2005. So it's Katie's missing. Katie's missing. Katie's missing. Katie took her a month ago. She's been missing for a month.
Okay, I understand. Can you calm down for me for just a minute? And I need to know what's going on, okay? I'm going to try and talk.
I'm sorry. I didn't really do that. I can't
is your daughter there?
I have a phone with them.
Is your daughter there?
Yes.
Can I speak with her? Do you mind if I speak with her? Thank you.
I called them 2 hours ago. They haven't gotten here. Can you speak? Finally, and then this is Danny Brooker a month ago. In front of the
Ma'am.
Can you stand in Sheriff's Department? They want to talk to you. Answer the question.
Hello? Yes. Hi. Well, can you tell me what's going on a little bit?
I'm sorry?
Can you tell me a little bit what's going on?
My daughter's been missing for the last 31 days.
And you know who has her?
I know who has her. I tried to contact her. I actually received a phone call today, now from a number that is no longer in service. I did get to speak to my daughter for about a minute.
Okay, did you guys call and report a vehicle stolen?
Yes, my mom did. Yep.
Okay, so there's been a vehicle stolen too?
No, this is my vehicle.
What vehicle was stolen?
It's a 98 Pontiac Sunfire.
Okay, I have deputies on the way to you right now for that. But now your three-year-old daughter is missing. Kaylee Anthony.
Yes.
White female. Kaylee
Anthony. Yes, white female.
3 years old, 8/9/2005, her date of birth?
Yes.
And you last saw her a month ago?
31 days. Some 31 days.
Who has her? Do you have a name?
Her name is Zenraiva Fernandez Gonzalez.
Who is that? Babysitter?
She's been my nanny for about a year and a half, almost 2 years.
Why are you calling now? Why didn't you call 31 days ago?
I've been looking for her and have gone through other resources to try to find her, which was stupid.
Okay. Can you give me the name of the nanny again? Like, spell it out for me?
Zenraiva. Zenaida.
Last name?
Fernandez.
Hyphen
Gonzalez. I think the officers are here.
The officers are there?
Yes.
Okay, hold on a second. Don't hang up with me yet.
Okay, so at this point, she says that Kaylee is with Zanny the nanny. Mm-hmm. But the parents to this point have been fairly active in their grandchild's life, right? So they should theoretically know if this nanny exists.
Which they've never met her. Casey has never allowed her to.
So she's mentioned her, but she's never been seen.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, this is how deep this chick's deception goes. And it makes me wonder where Kaylee actually was, you know, in the months and years prior to this happening when Casey said she was with Zanny the nanny.
Right.
I mean, did she just chloroform her and leave her in a car somewhere and go about her business?
So at what point does it go from here to the police take her to Universal Studios?
Okay, so after the 911 call comes in, this is where we're kind of, once that 911 call comes, this is when we get into the first 48 hours of, you know, the missing, because everybody who's seen any kind of crime show knows that the first 48 hours are the most crucial.
Yes, unfortunately, if there was any truth to the validity of things that Casey Anthony says, this would be the first 24 or the first 48 hours after the first 30 days that her daughter's been missing.
Exactly. Exactly. So just to kind of break it down in timeline form, the 911 call was made on the 15th of July, 2008 at 10:36 p.m. At 3:50 a.m., detectives showed up to the Anthony house. They did their initial interview with Casey. You know, she's telling them a whole bunch of crap. And, you know, they're, of course, asking her, why did you wait so long to call? And her response is, I thought I could handle it myself. If somebody had told you that, what would you say to them?
Okay. I am a normal person, right? So I, number one, if my child was taken, I would call the police immediately. Number two. If that wasn't the route I was going to take, Casey Anthony had a secondary route. You tell your father, who is ex-police, and have him get involved. Of course, he's going to call his friends that are actively in duty, and it's still going to be reported, and things would be handled the right way. But I would probably, there's a possibility I would have called my father first, but then immediately we would have contacted authorities together, etc. But I would have definitely gotten dad and the police involved.
See, I'm with you on that. He used to be a cop. So obviously he knows people. He knows techniques of how to track somebody down. So
yes. The
fact that she didn't even bother to tell her dad, who was such an important part of Kaylee's life, is just,
It's mind-boggling.
To me, that just says she's lying right from the get-go.
Oh, yeah, 100. Yeah, yes, absolutely. Because the thing is, like, even if your relationship with your dad's horrible, at least you could go to your dad and be like, Dad, these are all the factors of why I don't want to go to the police. Because there's got to be some reason, if any of this was true, right? Like, there's got to be some reason you don't want to go to the authorities. But you have the ability to do this for me, right? So even if you don't like your dad, he has special expertise in what you need at the moment.
And obviously we'll get into this more when we talk about the actual trial itself, but just looking at some of the jailhouse phone calls and things of that nature, the crap that they put forward as far as the molestation, she doesn't have any of those signs. So of someone being molested. So I don't see any reason why she wouldn't have gone to her parents to begin with. If Kaylee indeed was kidnapped, it just, like you said, it's mind boggling. It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
I miss you, sweetie.
I know that. I miss you too.
I wish I could have been a better dad and better grandpa, you know?
You've been a great dad and you've been the best grandfather. Don't for a second think otherwise.
Well, you know,
you and Mom have been the best grandparents. Kaylee's been so lucky. Kaylee is so lucky to have both of you. I can't even put into words how glad I am that she's had both of you. And that she still has both of you.
You know, it goes without saying, you know, that our house is empty without both of you there. It's empty.
So the cops do their initial interview. Then they decide to go out and look for Kaylee, right?
The initial interview was not the Universal Studios interview.
No. The initial one was when they were at the house. So it was like in the 4 o'clock in the morning. This is where it gets a little weird for me. Casey has specific addresses that she tells these people to go to.
Yes.
Obviously, none of them, two of them were, one was an apartment building, one was a house, and one was a retirement home. The apartment building, the cops.
And she had them attempt to talk to people.
Yeah.
That weren't all real.
Yeah, exactly. And the cops later found out the apartment itself hadn't been lived in for months. So, and there'd never been anybody by the name of Zenaida, Fernando Gonzalez, or Zanny the Nanny, whatever. So just the fact that she took them to these specific addresses, that kind of, it just makes me feel like everything was premeditated. Like she already in her mind knew that, you know, people obviously were going to eventually ask where the hell Kaylee is. So she came up with these, you know, this elaborate story, and she made up these addresses, and it just screams premeditation to me. I don't see any other way around it.
I mean, and I see why you feel that way, and there's truth to that for sure. But my mind is like, it keeps jumping back to the fact that, which I know it sounds defensive of her, but like, she's not right. She's not normal. She's mentologically, that's the new word I just made, mentologically. She's psychologically disturbed. Her mental status is a wreck. And the reason I say that is because, I mean, this goes more to your point, but the only reason you give someone a bunch of fictitious points, and it was a huge list and a huge list of people to talk to, and none of them were connected to anything that was truthful as far as leading to her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So you're sending them on a wild goose chase, right? You're trying to delay the process of them getting to the truth, which very much leans towards what you're saying. But to me, as a rational human being, you would be like, if I give them all of these crazy, not related things, and every single one of them is going to be found to be completely nonsense, they're going to know I did this 100%. I think a rational human being would be like, this goose chase I'm putting them on points directly at me, mm-hmm. right? The goose chase has to be connected to something that's related to truth,
mm-hmm.
or else it's a clear goose chase and I'm pointing the finger at my own self. So to me, it's like, even though she's distracting them, the distraction is so elaborately ridiculous
mm-hmm.
that it's like, she can't be right in the head because she's basically screaming, I did this.
Well, you know, I don't think she's right in the head, number one. I think she definitely has a narcissistic complex, 100%. I will defend that to my grave. But at the same time, if you go back and listen to the interview they did with her at Universal Studios, she tries, and it's so unbelievably stupid, but she tries to sit there and say that she took them to all these places and to Universal Studios and all that, because those are places where Kaylee had been once before. So for me, there's, in her mind, rational thought behind what she's saying to throw them off the case. I don't think she believed, this is where you and I are going to differ. I don't believe that she was believing what she said. I think she was just trying to throw out anything she possibly could to save her ass. And, you know, get
the just focus steer them away, right? Where I feel like, even though there was a partial cognitive attempt to distract and push them away, that she is delusional enough that she can rationalize every single step she did as somehow being relevant, even when logically it's not. Like, I think that she is aware that she's lying on a surface level, but then inside she's like, but it's not my fault because this could help in this way, and I don't know where my daughter is.
The horrible thing that happened, and this is the honesty as truth of everything that I've said, I do not know where she is. The last person that I saw her with is Zenaida. She's the last person that I've seen my daughter with.
And see, here's the problem. I think Sergeant Allen trying to get to this is that we know that's not the truth. We know, listen. We know that that's not true. That can't be the truth. Because if that were the truth, everything you would have told us would have been on the money. The addresses you would have taken us would have been on the money. Everything else would have matched. If you had told us the truth, we wouldn't be here at Universal Studios at a place that you've been fired since 2006. When you're trying to explain to us, you know, you have an office and all that stuff. We wouldn't be here. So we know, and this is the part we need to get past, we already know that you're not telling us the truth, that you know what happened to Kaylee, you know where Kaylee is. But here's what we're trying to get by, is that you fall into one of two categories, and I'm sure he explained it and I explained it, is that if this is something, an accident that happened, and you, no matter how you think people are going to look at you, they're going to look at you a lot worse if you continue showing that you're callous or not caring, and that you just show complete dispassion and disregard for human life. Mm-hmm. Or they can look at you as someone that, you know what, I can understand, I'm a young mother, or she's a young mother, first child, something horrible happened. She's thinking, oh my God, my life isn't going good right now. I already know my life is struggling. People don't see me in that great of a light. I know I got problems at home, and I've got problems with friends, I know I got problems at work or lack of work. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, something bad happens to my child, and people are going to think, oh, I'm just a devil. See, there's a difference between this person who makes a mistake and says, listen, I'm sorry, this is the reason I lied to you, this is the reason I was scared, compared to the person who might sit here and say, I have no idea what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. There's a big difference there. And I can tell you now that everything you told me is a lie. Everything that you've told me this morning from Zanny, from the addresses, from Universal, from all these people that you've talked to, including people that you never told me their names, and I found them and talked to them, mm-hmm. you know, everything that you told me this morning is a lie. Every single thing. There's one of two options right now. You need to tell me the truth, and we can work with that. Mm-hmm. Or if you continue down this path and continue lying, I can tell you that when this snowball gets to the bottom of the hill, the only person who's going to get hurt is you.
Even if she knows where her daughter is, I think she can convince herself that she doesn't. Even if she knows exactly how her daughter died, I think she can convince herself that her actions, although might have on the surface appeared to directly lead to it, that they weren't intended for that, therefore it couldn't have done that. Like I feel like she's a level of detached from reality that isn't normal in these cases. So I do kind of not sympathize for her, but I feel that she's not part of the reality that the normal people live in.
Mm-hmm. I can see that point. For me, I think it's a I think it more so comes down to not necessarily being detached completely from what's happened, but comes down to a place of none of this is my fault. You know, I had to chloroform my daughter because I wanted to spend some quiet time with my boyfriend. That kind of thing. You know, I had to kill my daughter because I wanted my own life. I wanted to go out and have fun and join these contests at nightclubs and things of like that nature.
Yeah. And that's certainly the way a lot of TV and movie news sources. And that's a lot of the way they picture her. She's just this young crazy party chick that doesn't care about her daughter. And I kind of feel like, sadly, it's a combination of it all, right? Mm-hmm. But I do want to throw out there for people that aren't super well versed, when you're talking about the chloroform, her phone had been shown to have many searches for chloroform, right? Like her family computer. Okay. Yeah. But then there was some kind of defense of her where they were saying she might have just been using it to subdue her daughter because she's kind of a hyperactive young child. Mm-hmm. But like I said, like Casey Anthony clearly doesn't have a strong connection to reality, or she is just one of the worst human beings in the world. Those are the only two options. But obviously a normal parent has never chloroformed their child to subdue them. That's not a thing.
I would certainly hope not. Certainly would hope not. That's I can understand maybe giving Benadryl, you know, for one of those hyperactive moments or whatnot, but yeah, chloroform, that seems to be taking it to the extreme.
Yes. Now she says, right, that her, I mean, at first forever she was like, I don't know how my child died, but then later she's with the Kaylee drowned in the family pool, correct?
Well, that was the defense's argument. If you look at some of the interviews she's given post-trial, she swears up and down to this day she has no idea what happened to Kaylee. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I think everybody knows that the defense's arguments were nothing but a bunch of crap, just stuff that Baez made up to, you know, place reasonable doubt to show that, you know, something else could have happened to Kaylee than what the actual evidence is pointing towards. Yeah. So, I mean, I just.
And not to steer us too far from the timelines of the events, because we kind of want to, you know, make sure everyone knows everything. Mm-hmm. But I just want to throw this out there. Obviously, like, I'm not a law person. You're not a law person. Mm-hmm. I mean, we abide by the law. I'm not saying that, people. Come on. But
we're not lawyers.
Right. But to me, if I was allowed to make laws and whatnot, this would be one. Even if you did not kill your child, even if you didn't, even if you're completely innocent, you don't know what happened, your child was kidnapped. Your child was kidnapped. You're the victim. That's terrible. Mm-hmm. Even if that was all true, if you didn't report it for a month, you were now going to prison for a long time.
Well, actually, there were some laws that were enacted after this for this specific reason. It's like, I think it's called Kaylee's Law.
Yeah.
And I think each state, and I don't think all states have adopted it yet. Each states have kind of taken on something to the effect of, if your child is missing, it is your responsibility to report it immediately. You know,
yeah.
None of this, I'm going to try to figure out.
It's lunacy to me. Look, my job is not that important. So, however, we have to talk about safety a lot, because safety is important. And even on a very basic level, the first thing I always say is, if you see something, say something. I cannot imagine my child being kidnapped for 30 days and not reporting it to the police. It's not even in the realm, even if you despise the police, even if you are scared of the police. I mean, look, crackheads go to the police when they have issues.
Exactly. Yeah, it just makes no sense whatsoever. But jumping back into the first 48 hours.
Yeah.
After they went around to these addresses that had no meaning whatsoever.
Real addresses, right? Like some.
No, she took them to three places. They were real addresses, but they actually had nothing to do with the nanny at all.
Her daughter.
Right. So 6:45-ish, they drop Casey back off at home, and then they go to follow up on their leads. And again, Casey had told everybody, including her parents, that she was working at Universal Studios. Well, the cops that were on the case obviously checked, and she hadn't worked there for, I think, over 2 years, something like that.
Right.
So they call her back later that morning. Like
they want to try a thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. Because eventually, I think they actually told her that they wanted to bring her down to the station to kind of go through mugshots to see if they could find the nanny. And ended up asking her if, well, you know what? Hey, maybe we should go to your office and see
Universal Studios. Right. Yeah. And of course, the police, just like we have to struggle through, are looking to like see the reactions of a normal human being. Because they probably thought as soon as we say, hey, we're going to take you down to Universal Studios, she'd be like, okay. You know, this is what really happened. But okay, continue. I just wanted to throw that out there, that they probably were like, we're not going to actually get to Universal Studios. We don't have to actually go spend a day there. Oh, but yes, you do, because you're not dealing with normal here.
Well, exactly, because that's the weird thing that I'm glad you brought that up, because she was apparently gung-ho about going to Universal Studios. Yes. The cop said that she had hesitation whatsoever. Say, okay, come on, let's go. Well, you know, we'll go check it out. Knowing fully she had not worked there in over 2 years.
Hadn't worked there in 2 years, but they said when they got there, she was waving at people and saying hi. And it did not say people that still worked there from when she was there. She's waving at strangers.
Yeah, exactly. And even when she went up to the security guard and told him that she didn't have her badge, security guard's like, we don't have a Casey Anthony that works here. She's like, no, I'm here, you know, I just don't have my badge. And again, he said the same thing. He's like, dude, you don't work here. Right. So I guess they got the security director to come down, and with the cops there, they let him through.
Right, obviously. They let him in, obviously, because of the police, not because of her working there 2 years ago.
Exactly. So apparently, like you said, she's walking down these hallways, acting like she knows where she's going, waving at complete strangers, like, you know, they're her coworkers or whatever. She ends up going to a dead end. She stops, turns around. She's like, you know what? I don't work here, actually. What person does that? I mean, seriously. Nobody. I mean, you have to know you're going to get caught.
No, in an office, any normal human being, like, number one, any normal human being would not have made up a place they work. We kind of talked about this a little bit earlier. Obviously, this stuff will tie in back and forth. Like, it's part of my theory of how, like, she's, like, only, like, loosely connected to reality. Because any normal human being would never lie about their job in the first place, because that's something that you know the police are going to check, and you know that you're going to be, like, as many lies as you build up that are going to 100% be verified as wrong, you're pointing at yourself. So it's like, she either wants to put them in this complete crazy wild goose chase just to distract them, or she's loosely hinged to reality, because all of the wild goose chase, when it is like, this isn't true, this isn't true, this isn't true, and this isn't true, points directly at yourself. But that all said, a normal person would have, if they had lied, as soon as they're like, okay, we're going to take you there and we're going to, like, meet your coworkers and your boss and blah, 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 then you'd be like, oh, this is where it ends. I lied.
Yeah, exactly. That, well, I mean, even, see, this is kind of what makes me think, it kind of goes back to the whole narcissistic thing, where I genuinely believe she thinks she is smarter than everybody else, and that, you know, leading these people on all these wild goose chases is going to give her time to come up with a better, more reasonable story as to, you know, why in the hell her daughter's been missing for 31 days and we're just now finding out about it. I really believe she thinks she's smarter than everybody and can, you know, put this thing to bed quickly and without any problems.
Well, not to jump too far forward, but maybe she is.
I'm going to go with no on that one, but I think in her mind, she thought she was.
I'm sure she hasn't had anything prove otherwise at this point.
Well, that's true. I mean, because when she was, you know, after she told the cops that, oh yeah, I don't work here, just kidding. They put her in a conference room and did another interview with her, and they were in there with her for a while. But I mean, she was adamant about everything. You know, she admitted that she had lied, and, you know, the cops.
Yeah, but she admitted that she lied.
Yeah.
But stated that all of the lies were somehow loosely enough connected to her daughter that she thought she was still being helpful.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like you said, like, her daughter had once been to Universal Studios, so being right there is not a waste of time.
Yeah, and then the cops were just like, so you thought you would come here and find her? And she's like, no, but, you know, you never know. I mean, we could check, you know, we could check the cameras at the turnstile and see if Zanny had brought her here because she loved this place. And the cops are like, well, why do we go to the security office instead of going to the turnstiles? In case
right,
like,
and why don't you tell us, hey, let's go to Universal Studios because there's a good chance that Zanny took her there and we can look at film instead of saying, hey, I work there, let's go wave at strangers.
Yeah.
But everything we're doing is to find your daughter. That's the most important thing to look to you right now, right?
Kaylee's been up here. Maybe we can talk to security to see if she's come through the front. I know she's come to the park. She's gone to Disney. She's been at SeaWorld. She's been to other places.
Well, let's go back to, let's
it's
we're here.
Backwards way of
no, it's of you know, and why do you think it's backwards? It's backwards because you haven't been truthful with us, okay?
Because I've been reaching.
You've been reaching. Huh?
I've been reaching to try to figure out a place where she actually is.
So once again, okay, you never did answer my question. You're reaching and helping find her by bringing us here to this office that you don't have. Is helping us find her how? Because what you're doing right now is you're doing everything you can to find your daughter. You have three experienced detectives right now whose sole focus is here to help you find your daughter, okay? And we're here because you brought us here, correct?
Absolutely.
You directed us here because we're going to your office to find evidence that will help us find it, okay? Now that we're here, I want you to tell me how that's helping. What is it we're doing here? What's helping us right now, okay? We've come to an office that doesn't exist.
It's not helping.
So why'd you do it?
Honestly, I wanted to come up and try to talk to security. Maybe pass around a picture of Kaylee. I legitimately have not seen my daughter in 5 weeks. I didn't want anything happen to her. Except I trusted her with somebody. Somebody that had been taking care of her, that had been taking good care of her. Someone that she was comfortable with, that I was comfortable with.
What about Jeff? You said Jeff worked here until about 2 months ago?
No, he hasn't worked here for quite a while.
10 months? How long?
It's been at least 10 months.
Okay. He got fired in 2002. Years. He hasn't been an employee here since 2002. And what about the girl?
Juliet?
Yeah, what about her?
She left 2 months ago. That's exactly what she told me.
Juliet Lewis never worked at Universal Studios.
I think a lot was premeditated, but I think a lot of it was also her flying by the seat of her pants and, you know, coming up with things that she thought would sound plausible. And man, she's a good liar. I'll give her that. I mean, like you, I can understand why you really believe that she believes what she was saying, because she's very convincing.
My only theory on that is that you'd almost have to tell that amount of lies. Because I'd say the more lies you tell, the more it turns the finger on you. Like, if you like were talking to the police and you mixed up one detail, but then everything else you said was spot on, they'd be like, that had to have been an accident. She probably just mixed up that detail because this person's been extremely honest with us. If every single thing that comes out of your mouth is BS, like, you know, you're incriminating yourself, and and she had to have known at least 60% of what she was saying was verifiable. You can't lie about where you work. Like, if I tell people I work at Safeway and I had and I, like, it was somehow tied to something important enough for them to check on it, I know for a fact no one at Safeway knows my name.
Well, exactly. And it goes back, and also during this interrogation, she's talking about this guy named Jeff that she worked with, who's a real person and who can be verified easily. She's saying that Jeff is the one who introduced her to Zanny the nanny, because that's who watched his son, and that Zanny watched Kaylee and his son together, you know, and they would be in the same area and all this other stuff. Well, of course, you know, the police go back and check with this Jeff guy. Jeff doesn't even have a son. So, I mean, I don't know why she thought she could get away with saying stuff. I mean, maybe she thought the cops were stupid enough that they wouldn't actually go back and verify the crap that she's telling them, which again makes no sense whatsoever. Mm. I mean, it's
I mean, it doesn't, but in her mind, thinking she was smarter than them, if you're right on that track, it is possible in a delusional mind that mm-hmm. you might think such a minor or such a simple detail as Jeff having a son, why would the police ever check that? Because nobody would make it up.
Well, you know what? That's true. That's a very good point.
But Casey Anthony would make it up.
Because obviously Casey Anthony did make it up. But another thing, this interview, I thought my head was going to explode just the whole time I was listening to it and watching it. There was this one point when she had told them that she had talked to Kaylee on the phone.
Yeah.
I think the day before. And the cops were asking her, well, did she sound upset? You know, she's like, oh no, she never sounded upset when she was talking to me. She was telling me about this book that she was reading. And the cops were like, so you're telling me that she's been missing. She's been gone from you for 31 days. And she has not once asked when she's going to get to see you. You know, she doesn't sound upset that she's not with her mother, because this is the longest that they've ever been apart. And Casey's just like, no, she just doesn't get upset with me on the phone. She was just talking about her book and she was happy as all get out. And
right.
Normal kid would be like that?
And it's not just normal kids, because like, yes, like why would the kid be like that? But number two, also Kaylee would be freaking out because any mother that thought their kid was missing for 30 days and then all of a sudden is presented with a phone call from them, she would be in panic. She'd be like, oh my gosh, Casey, where are you? Are you okay, sweetie? Is everything like, so then the child would react to that. And exactly. It would be, yes, you wouldn't talk about a book.
Exactly.
You remember the phone call you were telling us about? Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Yes.
Did you actually talk, what day was it you talked to her?
Yesterday.
You remember what time of day?
Around noon. It was from a private number.
Okay, what'd she tell you? What'd your daughter say to you?
She said, hi, Mommy.
And that's it?
And she started to tell me a story, talking to me about her shoes and books. And
it's important that she tell me. I mean, maybe there's something in what she said that can help us figure out where she is. But what did she say?
I tried to ask her where she was, and she just kept talking about the book that she's been reading. We have videos of her reading the story, and she's telling me the story.
So like she's happy, and she's happy.
She's fine.
She's fine. She's
fine.
Happy.
Fine. There's nothing in the background.
Telling you about a book. Telling you seen nothing. No sign of any type of stress at all?
Not at all.
Great, that's wonderful. Let me ask you a question. Your daughter hasn't seen you in over a month, and she's not...
She was excited. She was excited, sorry, to talk to me. But at the same time, it's crazy that she didn't get upset when she talked to me, which,
yeah.
It had been my mom...
Is that another thing? Is that another thing that makes sense to you?
She never gets upset when she talks to me, whether I haven't seen her for an entire day, or if I had to work late at night and I didn't see her almost an entire day and told her.
The last time somebody took her and you didn't see her for 5 weeks was when?
Never.
Okay. No. You haven't seen her in 5 weeks. She's not seeing you in 5 weeks.
No.
Okay. She's been with this woman for 5 weeks. Hasn't been to her own home, hasn't seen her mother in 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't upset her. She's talking about the book. I mean, is all that stuff you're saying true,
she's
right?
She's always been like that, though. I don't understand how.
Okay, but again, let's get back to you. You say this has never happened before.
Mm-hmm.
She's never not seen you for 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But now she after 5 weeks of not seeing her mother,
mm-hmm.
not talking to her mother, okay? She finally talks to her mother for 5 weeks. You ask her where she is. You begin asking her these questions, and she just wants to talk about the book. She's happy. She's not worried. Doesn't seem upset.
She's always like that. You can even ask my mom. She's the same.
Okay, let me go back to when was the last time you didn't see her for 5 weeks? When was the last time something like this happened where she was gone and you didn't see her for 5 weeks? The last time this happened, when?
Never.
Okay, so this is the first time, okay?
This is the first time I've been away from her for more than a day.
Okay. The first time you've ever been away from her for more than a day,
and she wasn't the least bit upset.
No.
When you talked to her on the phone.
She wasn't the least bit upset when I talked
to her. She went on about, I miss you, Mommy, none of that. I just, she talked, like you said, she talked about the book and all that stuff, right? That's it.
And when I asked her to give the phone to another adult, to somebody else, she was fine. She was willing to do it, but the phone hung up. She doesn't hang up phones. I know.
And that's the phone she called you on, your cell phone?
Yes.
Can I see that real quick? What are you doing? Now, if this is the first time she's ever been gone for away from me for more than a day, I'm a parent too. I would have been just beside myself.
I have been.
I would have called the police immediately, and that's the part that I just don't understand.
Yeah, you can't tell me any parent who has been missing their child for 31 days would not freak the hell out when the kid calls.
Yes.
I'm sorry. That's just unless you have no emotions. Unless you are a psychopathic, emotionless, non-human entity, that's the only thing I can think of.
Which adds to my belief that there's a lot just wrong with this person, because clearly in my mind, right, the phone call never occurred, not even real. Mm-hmm. But a normal human being, I keep saying a normal human being is not going to lie about any of this stuff,
right?
But a normal criminal would say, yeah, I talked to her on the phone. I was frantic. And she sounded like she was scared. And we need to figure out where she is. You wouldn't say, no, it was a chill, normal conversation.
Exactly. And then, you know, when the phone call ended, the phone was turned off and, you know, I couldn't get back in touch with her.
And I still didn't call the police.
Exactly. Or give the number to my dad who could have it traced.
Right.
Or have it pinged or something.
Or be like, Dad, this is this lady's name. This is my phone. Find my daughter.
Yeah. That, there are so many things that just, I still can't believe she wasn't convicted. Anyway, that's a whole other topic that we'll get to in a minute.
Yes. So that's why I say, by the way, like, I mean, I don't know why I was trying to hide that. Everyone knows what happened to Casey Anthony, right?
Oh, it's a big surprise.
That's why, like, maybe she is smarter than us all. I don't know. I mean, like, she didn't get convicted. So,
well, her and Baez were smarter than 12 people. We'll put it that way.
Yeah.
Because I think even the judge said he was surprised by the verdict.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there were many not surprised.
I want
to put this out there. Just going along what we've already spoken of, that she did apparently have, I don't know if this was verified either, but she said she had a boyfriend that said he would never marry someone with a child around the time of the disappearance, right? So there were possible motives as well.
Oh, there were motives. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Actually, we'll talk about that in a minute too, because I think that's up next. So that same day around 3 p.m., she's arrested and had no reaction, didn't show any emotions whatsoever. And the cop even said, well, and this is actually on film, while she was in handcuffs in the room waiting to be interrogated again, all she did was make small talk about how she wanted to be a personal trainer. Like, she wasn't affected by anything at all. Like, this is just another normal part of my day.
See, she's not connected. Like, me and my daughter talked about a book. I want to be a personal trainer. The day that her daughter supposedly was taken, right, she was in a hot body contest. Like, she's just living her life. She doesn't even know she has a daughter at certain points.
Yeah.
Like, she's not connected.
Exactly. So they've got her in custody now. And 5:45, they start doing some evidence discovery. Her car's found. It's taken to the forensics team. Even the forensics team verified that there was a body decomposition. The smell of it was, you know, all over the place. Like, as soon as you open the car doors, it was.
Yeah. They verified it with their noses when they opened the door. Yeah. It was that.
And
bad.
Also, yeah. And also with cadaver dogs, they brought a cadaver dog.
They had dogs trigger as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had a dog hit on the trunk, and, we'll talk about that later too, because
I just want to throw out one thing on cadaver dogs, because from listening to Your Own Backyard podcast, I'm going to plug that because it's a really good podcast if no one's listened to it. about the Kristen Smart case. However, they talk a lot about cadaver dogs, and then I've watched other documentaries with cadaver dogs. Cadaver dogs don't get the respect that they deserve a lot of times.
No, they don't.
Yeah, a lot of that evidence is thrown out and whatnot, but I mean, the percentage of actual, like, correct signaling from a from large portion of the dog, I mean, it's like 80, 90, it's very high percentage.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it is. It is. And the defense's expert witness, he didn't know anything about the dogs. He wasn't allowed to say anything about them, which we'll get into a little bit later, but he believes in the science. And I do as well. Because I'm sorry, I think animals are better than people anyway.
Yes.
But okay, so the cadaver dogs hit on it. Then they, of course, confiscate her family computer, where it shows the search for chloroform. It also shows search for foolproof suffocation. Why would you be looking that up?
Right.
Why would you need to know how to suffocate something and not make any mistakes doing it? I mean, that doesn't, right. I don't know. And this is also when the cops discover that Zanny the nanny doesn't exist. So that brings us up to July 17, 2008, which is the end of the first 48 hours. Just kind of going through timeline focus, October 24th, 2008, is when Kaylee was presumed dead. They had a memorial for her. Casey's charged with first degree murder. Then December 11th, 2008 is when Kaylee's body is found, which was very close to the grandparents' home. I think it was like a couple blocks away, something like that.
All right, Mandy. Well, I think that's probably a good place to finish for this week. Join us next week when we continue with the Casey Anthony case. Thank you for listening to Through the Abyss podcast.
All right, Ben. So for Through the Abyss podcast, this is Ben and Mandy. See you on the flip side.
Spookly stuff.